I'm Mina.
And I'm Madison. And this is
Weekly Wondering. Hi, Madison.
Hi, Nina.
How's it going?
You know, we're here. We're living. We're laughing. We're loving.
Live, laugh, love, everybody. You
know, let's get tattoos.
Live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
With a little Smoky Mountain bear on the side.
And an infinity sign.
Okay.
Really rounded out.
Cute.
I'm good. Hey, how guys. Are you?
Hi. How's it going? I feel like it's been 12 years since we've recorded.
Yeah. Sorry. We took another break, you know.
I was dying.
Life is happening. But she's alive.
I'm thriving as much as I can. Yeah, we're living.
So, we're gonna, what are we talking about, Nina? What are we continuing?
We're gonna continue our, child services part, our adoption, foster parenting.
Child servicing.
Episode.
Part two.
If that wasn't clear to you guys, this is a podcast.
Jesus Christ.
On this podcast, we wonder weekly. And this week's wondering is a part two of last week's wondering that was about child services.
And that's that. Good night, everybody.
And that's all the talking I can do today.
Oh, goodness.
Last week we did kind of like a shallow dive into like foster care and the foster care system. And this week we're going to do kind of a shallow dive into adoption and like the requirements to adopt, and like kind of what that looks like in the States versus internationally.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of that for you guys.
We'll probably scream some more. We got a little, you know.
Got a little heated
last week. So probably going to get even more heated that. This week.
Yeah. I was literally just screaming with my mom about child services.
Nice.
Before this. So really my appetizer.
Nice. I love a good like warm up. Like just a couple yells, yeah. You know. But you're getting started.
I am. Which I feel like I haven't started in a really long time.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm going to relax.
Oh, recline.
Just maybe take a nap.
Okay, guys. So I'm going to talk about kind of the requirements to adopt and what that looks like. Talk about like things that you need, because apparently there's a lot of things that you need to adopt a child. Who would have known?
Can't just grab one off the street.
Apparently not. So we're going to talk about that. And like a lot of these so I'm going to talk about like a lot, obviously like general requirements. And you'll hear me say a lot, but like a lot of things are like state to state, you know, just as laws happen to be. So here we go. So obviously adopting a kid is a very big responsibility. So there are many a requirement and many a hoop that you must jump through in order to do so, rightfully so. So they're like the laws, the requirements may be different depending on where you live and which agency you work with and which type of adoption you are pursuing, because there are a lot of like private adoptions. It's like public adoption, you know, all the different things, as well as like adoption through like the foster to adoption pipeline, like versus like family adoption versus adoption, all of the things
versus that, you know, that one guy who was like faking abortions but taking babies and like selling them. Do you remember this? I think it was on Hulu. It was that documentary.
It was on Hulu.
And he was just scary. Like taking these people's babies and being like, your baby died, but then was just like selling it to another family.
That literally haunted me. Yeah. I watched that on Hulu like at the beginning of quarantine, and it definitely haunted me.
I don't think I got through it. I think I was
I think I still have distressed. like several episodes left.
Yeah.
And I had to take several breaks because like after watching just the first episode, I was like, there's no way. There is no way. There are this many of them.
Like it was like hundreds, right?
Like it's like hundreds of them. Like it's not like two people. It's literally hundreds of people.
Like
I was
had
like,
their babies bamboozled away from them.
Literally, I can't. Like, I literally can't. That is not adoption.
No, that is
that is stealing,
thievery,
kidnapping, thievery, all of the above.
Pick your choice.
Anyways, so this information, like this, most of this information that I got is like from the American Adoption System, the National Adoption Agency of American Adoptions. So, you know, lots of general information. So as a national adoption agency, American Adoptions adheres to each state's private domestic adoption laws and requirements. So like most agencies, they also have their own specific requirements. They may sound strict, but you know, there's a truth to adoption requirements. Obviously, they want to make sure that everybody is, you know, following the rules, and that, like, basically the idea is to make sure that the rules and requirements in place are in everyone's best interest, including the child, the birth mother, the adoptive family, all that jazz. So, yeah, each state has its own unique laws and adoption requirements. And so the database on adoption information for each state can, like, obviously help you learn more about, like, what specific state has what specific laws. And it's also, like, a big thing to, like, speak with adoption specialists, because, like, especially in your state, because, like, they'll have updates on, like, what laws change, what, like, laws are going to change, and, like, what things are subject to change, like, based off of certain things. But, like, there are some commonly asked questions that, like, go with these requirements. So, like, the first obviously commonly asked questions are, like, what are the requirements for adopting a child? And so adoption requirements are, like, always going to change based on where somebody lives. But the best way to find this is by calling a specialist, which is, like, what I found. I was like, that's weird, because I was like, I like to just Google things, but, like, they're, like, basically there are people that are legitimate adoption specialist that just, like, know all the rules, and I'm like, cool. Yeah. That's
like, what a great job. What a career.
What, like, a career.
I wouldn't.
I couldn't.
No, I. That's too much heartbreak for me.
It's too much for me.
Yeah.
And so then I guess another, like, one of the top questions about adoption and, like, their requirements to be adopt a child. Oh, is that so hard for me to say? Is, do you have to be married to adopt a child, Madison?
No. Right. Kind of. Well, it's better if you are, like,
it's better if you are. Yeah, that's the other thing about, like, adoption, and, like, that's the adoption hill that I'll die on later in life. But, like, the whole, like, these are not requirements, but somehow if you have these list of things, you are much, like, you are probably going to be in a better place to adopt.
Yeah,
but whatever. So, like other domestic adoption requirements, the marriage requirement for adopting a child depends on where you live, and which agency you choose to adopt from. So, for example, American Adoptions is currently able to work with couples who have been married a minimum of 2 years. If you do not meet their marriage requirements, but still wish to join their agency, you must contact them to inquire about the exception process. And you, like, have to fill out a thing, like, basically prove that you're a couple. I, like, started looking at certain things and, like, what certain people were talking about, like, different exception requirements. And it's literally, like, proof that you're, like, it's like getting a green card. Like, literally, like, I've worked here. We, like, look at these pictures of us being a happy couple.
I was gonna say, like, I think of, like, couples that I know that, like, have dated for, like, 10 years plus.
Yeah,
that, like, just matter. Haven't gotten married.
Nope.
But, like, no, you're nope. An unfit parent because, like, yep. You didn't put a ring on it. Like, yep. What?
Like, and there are some states, and, like, when I go through, I have, like, a little chart. There are some states that require married couples to be married for 2 to 3 years before they are eligible to jointly adopt a child.
And that's so, like, convenient for, like, people who, like, want to start a family right away, but, like, yes. You know, an adoption's the way they want to go.
Yeah. Like, well, and, like, I was reading on, I think it was, like, Nebraska's website or something like that, where somebody was, like, literally, it is easier to adopt a child as a single parent and then, like, get married to your spouse instead of, like, get married and then start the adoption process.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's so...
And I was like,
Nebraska,
why?
First of all, but
literally Nebraska. And so, Madison, how old do you think you have to be to adopt a child?
I want to say I read this, and I want to say it was 25.
So. Okay. yes, but no.
Okay, great, great.
So age requirements, Madison, differ significantly based on what state you're in.
Nice.
According to the most recent documentation from the Child Welfare Information Gateway, the requirements for age can vary significantly. 7 states only require the adoptive parents to be 18 years old.
Wait. So I could be like a 12-year-old and adopt a child? Is that what you're telling me?
No, you have to be 18 years old.
Oh, no. Oh, so that's the youngest you can be to adopt them in 7 states?
Yeah. So, like, I in Ohio can adopt a child when I'm 18.
Okay. But you're not saying, like, the other, like, 43 states are, like, younger.
No.
Okay, great. I thought, like, most of them did not have, like, limitations.
No.
Okay,
they're
great.
Like, you can be 5.
That's what I was like, what am I going to do at 12 with a baby?
Adopt a 17-year-old.
always wanted an older brother, like
literally me. No, so you can be 18. So, like, in Ohio, the, like, rule is that I have to be 18 to adopt a child, and I have to be 21 to be a foster parent.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah
just giving babies out in Ohio, apparently.
And then 3 states, Colorado, Delaware, and Oklahoma, set their age requirement at 21. So you must be 21 to adopt said child. And 2 states, Georgia and Idaho, their bar is set at 25. And then in other parts of the country, the requirement is simply that adoptive parents be at least 10 years older than the child that they are going to adopt, which also doesn't make sense to me.
So I, as an 11-year-old, could adopt a baby?
No.
I'm sorry, like, I'm trying to, like, poke holes in all of these plans.
No. So, like, I, as a 22-year-old, can adopt a 2-year-old, but I, as a 25-year-old, cannot adopt a 17-year-old.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Like, I would have to be 27 to adopt a 17-year-old, but at 22, I can have a baby.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense, right? Much confusion.
I'm just going to nod and squint my eyes at you and, like, close one of them.
I have a lot of confusion, too. So that's why, you know, you have to check with your adoption professional about the age requirements, because they're apparently very confusing. That's the other thing is I kept reading about, like, why is this a requirement? What's the age thing? And literally everything I see is literally just going, most agencies set their own age expectations for adoptive parents. That's just what it is.
So but Sheila, like, from, like, HR gets to set, like, the age requirement for all of Ohio. Literally.
And, like, my mom and I were just talking about this, like, just, like, on a bigger scale, like, with adoption. We were talking about foster care, too. But it's, like, these people that have, like, all of these biases in the world, like, get to set their own, yes, like, are for some reason, just have the job to be in charge of setting things that can literally make or break a human life. Like, we're not talking about, like, you're going to have pears for lunch instead of fucking apples. We're talking about, like, you get a parent.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this child gets an actual, like, home.
Like, what? Like, what's the situation here? God. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's that. Another little ditty, Madison, that comes up in the requirements a lot is how old is too old to adopt a child? And so there are very few states, state laws with adoptive parent requirements that disallow older people of a specific age from adopting a child. However, during the adoption home study, and we'll talk about home studies, your physical and mental health are evaluated to ensure that you are healthy enough to raise a child. The American Adoptions system, so, like, this specific agency, sets their upper age limit for adoption at 50. So, hope when you're 53, you don't want to adopt a kid.
50 sounds too young.
50 sounds very young, because I feel like if I'm 50, like, if you're 50 and you can have a teenager in your life anyways,
yeah,
why would that be too old for me to have a child?
Yeah, I feel like it'd be, like, upwards of, like, 65 is, like, maybe when you start, like, doing it case-by-case basis, you know?
Yeah, well, it's also confusing. Like, the 2 reasons that this confuses me is because it's, like, again, like, so we're in a, like, we, like, live in a world now where, you know, it is much more common that women are not having babies when they're, you know, 23. Like, women are living their lives and having babies when they're in their late 30s, sometimes early 40s in some cases. So, like, I know people that are literally, like, I know a woman that literally had a baby in February and she's 42.
Yeah.
So, like, she'll be 50 and her baby will be, what, 8?
Yeah.
So, like, she's fit to be a mother.
Like, she'd be technically taking care of that, if, like, that she was taking care of that child till 18, let's say. She's 60 years old then.
Yeah. So, like, that.
But she's, that's a she's fit to be a mother.
Yeah. Like, she's fit to be a mother. And, like, your parents, you know, like, yeah, like, my mom is 53 or however old she is. How old are you, mom?
Mom.
But, like, and, you know, like, I am 23. So, like, I'm not a baby. But, like, she's my parent, you know, like, yeah. She's not old. Like,
yeah,
like, so it doesn't make sense. It, like, it doesn't make sense to me. It also is, like, a thing that doesn't make sense to me, because it's like, if a child is removed from foster care, or, like, removed from a home and put in a foster, like, foster care situation, or put in a relative's home, and then, like, they are adopted to, like, that relative, it's not that, like, we would say, like, oh, you can't live with your grandma because grandma is 62.
Yeah.
So, like, why is it? Like, I don't see why age is a factor unless it, again, like, would have to do with your physical or mental health.
That's what I was going to say. Like, as long as that person is healthy and it's not, like, they're going to die next Tuesday, like.
Like, I feel like there's not a.
There's no good reason not to give a child a home.
Yeah. Because, like, grandparents raise their kids, like, grandparents raise kids all the time. All the time.
Yes.
Very confusing. Mm. Lots of questions. Mm. Another question, Madison, is, yeah, if you're a convicted felon in the past, are you unable to adopt a child?
I'm going to guess so, because our, you know, prison system is just fucked in general.
So, many people wonder, Madison, if having a criminal record makes you unable to meet the qualifications for adoption. So if you were convicted of a felony, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't adopt. Your home study social worker will speak with you about your felony, when and why it happened, and what you learned from that event, and how you've taken steps to correct any past mistakes. And
so
then
biases,
you are,
and prejudice is gonna determine that. Cool.
Literally. And then whether you are deemed eligible to adopt largely relies on the nature of that felony. So if the felony involves child abuse or neglect, obviously, or domestic violence, or other things, obviously you are unlikely to have a home study that will be approved, and then you will not be eligible. And then obviously if it is other things, you know, that can be rectified, I guess, you know, depending on who's to say what that would be, you might be eligible. And, you know, if your home study goes well, then yeah, sure, you can have this kid. Again, who's to say?
That's a little lighter than I thought it was going to be. I really thought it was going to be like a single felony, like a night in jail, no child for you.
Literally. But it's one of those things where it's like, again, so like, who decides and why do they decide? And also, like, it goes down the rabbit hole of, like, so, you know, I'm gonna say, like, white mom in her 30s had a DUI charge or, like, you know, whatever on her record, but wants adoptive child. But, you know, the child that she's adopting has been removed from their home due to previous drug use, you know, of the parents, or like a previous felony of a parent. Then it's like, so if they can go into this home, why can't they go into their own home?
Why did they get taken away from that original home?
Questions.
a little peculiar.
Next question, Madison. Can same-sex couples and LGBTQ+ single parents adopt a child?
Well, can they?
As long as they meet their state's requirements, they can be adoptive parents. So the, yeah, that face that you're making, My face.
You know what I don't trust? The states.
The states. So the LGBTQ plus couples and individuals in the community can adopt in all 50 states is what it's telling me. Legally, your sexuality is not a factor for adoption criteria in the U.S. However, some states are actively advancing legislation that make it easier for individual organizations to discriminate on the basis of sexuality.
That's... you're... That is...
Is this the hill? Is this your hill?
Like... Who gives, and it's just like government in general, who gives these private adoption companies most of them Christian adoption companies, literally, the right to not the
fucking audacity,
like, you know, give these children a home to good couples, to like any like LGBTQ family, like anything in there because of their own prejudice. Like, because... and that they're like, oh, that's good. That's a sinner's home. Like, but like, why? And is this not like a government, like adoption and child services all kind of like surrounded by the government? I'm doing some great interpretive dances over like, here.
You're asking and all like, the right questions.
So why do we let private bigoted businesses like then be able to control that and like not put children to homes?
Yeah. My question out of some of my many questions is there not a world where we as humans, as people, just close our eyes and picture, just really draw the picture and go, is a world where spending more time on legislation to stop people who actively want to adopt children into their home a better use of time than finding the, I don't know, statistic number of children who don't have parents a home? Is that a good use of time?
Apparently, I guess.
Like, I just would like to know, like, is there a world where we really look at ourselves in the face and we go, clowns?
Or like, I just want to understand. I just can't imagine being the person who's like, wow, I've been elected into public office, and I'm going to make some real change for this world by banning gay couples from being allowed to adopt children. Like, literally. Why is that your number one priority?
Why is this your hill?
Why?
Get off of it.
Like, don't you want, like, farms or something? Like, don't you...
Literally, do something else.
Don't you want to, like, fix the roads? Like,
go do something else.
Isn't that what you're supposed to be here for?
Go.
Not literally like, banning families from being allowed to have children.
From being able to have a child. So, yeah, very interesting. So those are some of our main questions, Madison, when it comes to adoption, when it comes to adopting a kid.
Okay.
So then, you know, adoption requirements obviously they're private, they're different, and it's also different, like, for state by private domestic adoptions, which is very interesting. Is like, there are no rules that are like, here are the rules for domestic adoptions. It's like, here are the rules. Here are some suggestions. But if it's a private adoption, you can do what you want. If it's a private domestic adoption, you can do what you want. We just kind of have a free for all. So again, yeah, it says that, you know, none of these states have LGBTQ plus restrictions. But you know, there are places that like require you to be a certain age, like we were talking about. There are some that's like very interesting where it's like Arizona and it says like required age adult. I'm like, what?
Yes, the ripe age of adult.
What is that? And then there are places that like are Connecticut where it's like requirements none. And I'm like, so what's the sitch? Like,
Connecticut, are you okay?
Like, what's the situation? And like, even like, there are no requirements of like residency. Like, you know, like if I live in, like, there's no like, oh, you have to live in a place for 5 years. Like in Arizona, like to adopt a child, you must be a resident of Arizona. But there's no like, oh, like 4 or 5 years or 4 or 2 years or like whatever. And like, it's not the same for like any other state. It's like Arizona and Delaware are the two that like are like you must be a resident. And I think Illinois is one where it's like you must be a resident for 6 months at least. And then like same with like Georgia, you must be a resident for 6 months. And then Indiana's like must be a resident. Exceptions apply.
Which is wild because like as I and I guess it's international, so it's, you know, I guess a bigger move. Mm-hmm. But like what I was reading is that like you have to stay like 2 years in the country of where you're adopting that child from. Where you're
adopting from.
And like there's ways to waive it and stuff like that because like, mm-hmm. you know, case by case, sure.
Right.
But like there's that 2 year requirement that you go and live abroad
yeah.
with that child.
Yeah. Which like I find like in some ways I find to be like to make more sense, you know?
Yeah.
And like when I think about it, I'm like, okay, well I guess like traditionally, I guess we could say in the States, like if you are adopting in Ohio, you are more than likely adopting a child from Ohio, you know? Mm. So like I guess like if we are thinking in that logic, those residency rules don't, you know, that's why they make sense. But like I think about like cases where, yeah, like what if I'm from Ohio and like I'm on a list to just adopt from anywhere and I adopt a kid from Tennessee. So like my question is like, so I have to live in Ohio, right? But like why wouldn't I have to go to Tennessee and like live with that kid? Like, you know, like it's the yeah. whole thing of like why it's a lot of adjusting to like what like making the parents adjust and like adjusting to the parents' needs and not adjusting to like child's needs.
Yeah, because are you doing like a homestay with the child? Are you doing any of that stuff? Or are you literally just plucking that child from Tennessee to Ohio?
Yeah. Which is usually what happens.
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. So let's move on, shall we? So one of the biggest thing about adopting a child that like is a requirement regardless of all of the other requirements is a home study. So you must complete a home study to ensure your state and the adoption professionals that they are legally eligible for adoption. So once you've completed a home study, you are officially ready to adopt a child. And in the home study, a social worker will determine that your family and home are suitable for raising a child. You're a social worker. So again, case by case. So this process includes collection of documents, so an elevation of documents such as birth certificate, social security information, background checks, you know, all the things, ensures that you're a fit parent, home inspection. So for many families, they worry that their houses have to be like immaculate and spotless. And it's that whole thing that we think, but it's really to see that your home is reasonably safe and will help you to like, you know, raise a child.
Sure.
Is any place really safe?
No.
And then there's also an interview. The social worker will speak with anyone living in your household to get an idea of what life is like in your home. And you and or your spouse, if you have one, will likely be interviewed separately and jointly to get more information.
To see who keeps the story straight. Damn it.
Everybody keep that story straight. So once your home study is finished, you will have officially taken the first steps of adoption process and you will have a long and exciting journey, obviously, into, you know, being matched with a child for in your home. So then there's like, but like the thing about home study requirements is like, so again,
mm-hmm.
the thing that we talked about of like mm-hmm. it's different for everyone. So like there's this whole article. So I was when I was on childwelfare.gov, they have this like who must be included in home studies. And it says in all states, the District of Columbia, America, Samoa, Guam, and the Northern Mariana Islands, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. Got to get them all in there.
Yep.
all applicants for adoption, whether single or couples adopting jointly, must be included in the adoption home study. In approximately 22 states, any adult member of the household also must be evaluated. In 21 states, the District of Columbia and Guam and all household members, regardless of age, must all be included in the study. So there are some states where everybody gets freaking interviewed infant to to grandma, and there are some states where like only the adults are interviewed.
I feel like you would want to interview, like, if there were children in the house.
Only interview the children.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I only trust their stories.
Forget the parents. Interview the kids.
Because, like, I want to make sure they're okay.
Yeah, like, what's going on? How's it going?
Do you want a brother?
Literally. Like, talk to me.
What'd you get for Christmas? Like, tell me the details.
Was it a lump of coal?
Did Santa bring you coal?
So, yeah, those are the, like, who must be included. And so then the agent or person conducting the study, so state laws and regulations specify that the person or entity who can conduct a home study that will be expected by the court that will hear the adoption petition. In most states, the Department of Licensed Child Placing Agency may be the entity. In 12 states, a licensed social studies teacher. Why? I don't know. But shout out to social studies teachers. Mm-hmm. In 12 states, a licensed social worker may conduct home studies. In 5 states, a licensed psychologist or therapist may conduct the study. In 10 states and the Northern Mariana Islands, a person designated by the court may conduct the studies.
What's up? My name's Jim, and I'm here to see if you're fit to be a parent.
It just gets, like, lower and lower. It's like the guy that runs the bodega on the corner may come to your home.
Jimmy on the corner.
Like, all of these things. And then what's the next one? Yeah, in 10 states. Oh, that was the one. 10 states, somebody, a designated person. And then in 7 states, an agency or individual licensed or qualified by the department may complete the assessment of the prospective adoptive home. And then in New Mexico, Wisconsin, when a person seeks to adopt a Native American child, the home study may be conducted by an agent designated by the child's tribe. Which I find very interesting. And I went, now that I kind of like. That's very interesting.
That makes sense.
But, like, all of these other things where I'm like, so how did we go from, like, state's law regulations, like, in most states it must be licensed, like, child placement agency to, like, but sometimes it's a social worker, but sometimes it's a licensed psychologist, but sometimes it's just a designated person.
Yeah, because I want to, like, what does that training even look like?
How do I get to see, like, because, like, you know, there's, like, a whole list of, like, you know, you should have enough room in your house for, like, another child, obviously, like, for somebody to have their own room, and, like, you should have enough room for this, and, like, obviously, if there is a baby, you should have enough room for a crib, and, like, a this, and a this. Sure. But, like, you know, so those are requirements that I can check off. But, like, again, all of the, like, you know, the what we call in stage management, the soft and the hard skills, you know, like all of the things like that you have to be able to sense and, you know, just like pay attention to. I'm like, how do you train somebody? Like, how do you make sure that somebody is trained to adequately see that? And also, how do you train somebody to unsee the biases that they just probably have in general?
Because I feel like, besides, like, normal biases that, you know, like, are out there, like, what about biases of, like, oh, well, that's not how my parents raised me, or, like, oh, my house wasn't set, like, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, people are always like that of, like, oh, I ate, you know, like, Velveeta mac and cheese as a kid versus, like, Kraft mac and cheese, and, like, you know, like, that's, like, the fight between people, like, but, like, things, like, similar to that of, like, oh, I wasn't raised to believe that, like, you know, we should have a pet, like, or, like, you know,
yeah,
like, or
like, I, but things that are weird, because that's the thing, is there are no requirements, and, you know, like, there's a lot of, like, obviously, like, there's, like, discretion and, like, all these things, but I'm like, but says who? If there are no requirements, you know, like, if there is no rule book that says, like, all of these things, because it's like, you know, obviously they can't discriminate, and I'm like, but
who's stopping them from?
But talk to me.
Yeah,
because, like, that's the thing, exactly what you're saying is, like, discrimination isn't just, like, black or white, isn't just, like, oh, gay or straight, like, it's very much a, like, well, I was raised in a 3-bedroom house, and so, you know, an apartment's not a fit home, or I was raised, you know, like this, or my parents had this income. Like, those are things that, like, I worry about, like, in these types of situations, is, like, who is in charge?
Who's deciding, like, what, like, class wealth you have to be
yeah,
to be able to have a child. Like,
yeah, like, what's the situation? It also, like, I was looking at the whole thing about, like, therapist and psychologist, which, like, I was like, that's very interesting. And, like, while I think a therapist or, like, an interview with a therapist or psychologist or having those people also do an interview would be great, I'm like, does this therapist or psychologist have the necessary requirements to tell me if a child can go into a home or not?
Like, I feel like it'd be useful. Like, I feel like maybe that's, like, where the person comes in with, like, the soft skill.
Yeah. I'm like, and that might be useful in an interview.
I feel like you need to have those other parts of, like, okay, here's my checklist of what, like, a home needs. Like, you know?
Like, I feel like I can't, you know, I'm like, and I don't know. There's a lot that I'm like, there's a lot. There's too much gray area. Way too much gray.
You know where I would go first? You know, like, my first, like, let me figure this family out. Where I'm going first if I'm that child service worker? The fridge. Definitely. I want to see, how's it organized?
What's in the fridge?
Is there orange juice? Like, is there pulp? No pulp? Like, tell me more.
Is,
like,
there pulp or no pulp?
Are you a pulp or no pulp?
I don't drink orange juice. It's against my religion.
Okay, when making a mimosa.
Okay.
Do you do pulp or no pulp?
We do. You can't have pulp in your mimosa. If you put pulp in your mimosa, you're going to jail. Okay? Don't. Don't ever.
Okay, bad question.
No, that's a good point. I want to see what's in your fridge. Like, do you keep your ketchup in the fridge or not in the fridge?
My,
First of all, don't eat ketchup, but that's a different thing.
That's your opinion. I ate ketchup, like, 3 times today, so.
Oh, God.
No, I just think of, like, I'm not gonna call them out because I love them very dearly, but, like, when I was younger, like, when you know, like, when you're younger and you go over to a friend's house and, like, their pantry and fridge are, like, completely different than yours.
Yes.
Like, and, like, this was a big family, so, like, they were just a little, like, wrecked in the food department. And you're just like, but I opened up the pantry and I was like, this is a nightmare tornado. Yeah. Like, there's just, like, shit everywhere. Like, yeah. And like, I would just, like, look at my friend and be like, what can I eat in here? Like, what's safe?
What's the situation here? Yeah, that's chaotic. That is chaotic.
Oh, I love them so much.
It's like when you go in a grocery store, like a Walmart, and it's different. It's set up differently from your Walmart.
Oh, and you get like, so mad.
Wrong.
You're like, the dairy is right here. Yeah. It should be 3 aisles down.
So yeah, those are like, there are a lot of rules. Like, we could go on and on about, especially on the child welfare website, because there are like I was reading you the qualifications for adoptive parents that are like not really qualifications. They're just light suggestions, I guess, these days.
Sure.
But like, there's also a whole, like, there's a whole section on the website, and I think I actually put it in my notes, a part of it in my notes, but like, there's a whole like section in the website on like post placement studies, obviously, because like, they're gonna want to check up and make sure that the child is adjusting and things like that. But then there's also like all of these like things about like exceptions for like step parents and like relative adoptions, like if a step parent is going to adopt a child, you know, because we see all these videos now, that's the big thing, is, you know, step parents like being asked to adopt a child. Don't make Madison cry on the podcast. But you know, like there are things that like start getting waived just depending on circumstances and situations. That, like, you know, I'm not saying, like, a step-parent shouldn't be able to adopt a child, but, like, suddenly if, like, a person, you know, like, if you've been my step-parent for 13 years, then, like, you don't, all of a sudden, you don't have to go through any type of, like...
Like, it still deserves maybe, like a passover, you know, like, just, like, a little check-in. Like,
cool. Like, here's your stamp. Like, that's it. Like, it's, like, all these things. And I'm like, so, are there rules? rules? Like,
no, all the rules are fake.
Like, do we have any rules? Yeah. And like, that's the thing, is all of the rules are very fake, which is like very interesting, because like more often than not, and like, again, goes into my like ranting, goes into like all of my things, is like more often than not, we see situations where you know, parents that genuinely want to adopt, people that genuinely want to adopt, whether they be a single person or, you know, they are Black and they want to adopt a white child, or they are white and want to adopt an Asian child, or they are gay and they want to adopt a baby, like, they are put through fucking hell and hoops to adopt said child.
Yeah.
For absolutely no reason.
Yeah. Because of biases and prejudice.
Thank you, America.
Terrible.
That's it.
That's it. End of podcast.
Yeah, that's really yeah. What it is.
Well, let's turn our glasses.
Oh.
Towards the, I almost said original, international setting.
The original setting.
The original setting. I'm just going to talk about a little bit about adoption law internationally. There's like a couple, it like breaks it down into a couple different processes.
Okay.
So I thought it was just interesting. And yeah, then I might rant a little bit about my feelings about international adoption. But
tell me.
But we'll start with the law first. We'll start with the law.
Laws.
Quote, unquote. I actually feel like there's probably a little more, like, structure to, just a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the rules of, like, adoptive parents are still the same of, like, it's, like, how to tell right. if they're fit. Like, it's, like, up to Sheila in HR again.
Literally.
Sheila.
It's, like, spin the bottle.
Yeah.
See what it lands on.
Will you get a baby? Maybe, maybe not. So international adoption is essentially a private legal matter between a private individual or couple who wishes to adopt and a foreign court. U.S. authorities can't intervene. So I'm talking specifically right now, like, mostly what I talked about, because it's, like, the same of if you're in, like, a different country. It's if they're under this, it's going to be called, like, the Hague Convention, that's, like, a bunch of countries are under.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, your home country can't really do anything for you but provide resources. It's okay. Between like you and the foreign country, really.
Okay.
So I'm speaking like in like the side, like if you are in the U.S. trying to adopt
somewhere else.
Yeah. So U.S. Okay. authorities can't intervene on behalf of the prospective parents with the courts in the country where the adoption takes place. However, the Department of State, DOS, does provide extensive information about the adoption processes in various countries, as well as legal requirements to bring the adopted child abroad to the United States. So that's like where the home country gets brought in, is it's when, because like you can get the adoption approved, but then you still have to get like a visa for that child in your country and get, you know, them to become a citizen in your country, which is a whole separate process that I was like, holy shit.
I didn't even think about that. Like, of course, duh. But, like, I truly did not even think about that.
Because it's, like, the step one is, like, getting permission with the foreign country to, like, adopt a child from their country. But then you still have to get approval from your country to bring that child into your country and get it citizenship, which Lord knows how terrible it is to get citizenship in the United States.
I don't even want to talk about it.
A whole discussion for another day.
That's tomorrow's podcast.
Okay. Great. I'll start studying.
Good.
I'll get my citizenship test all set up.
Oh, God.
Again, every time I take one of those, when it's like, see if you could become a citizen of the United States.
I literally can't.
I haven't learned about any of this since eighth grade, and it has all been melted out of my brain.
Yeah.
So to complete an international adoption and bring a child to the United States, prospective adoptive parents must meet the requirements established by the U.S. Bureau of Citizenship and Immigration Services, the USCIS, and the foreign country in which the child resides, and sometimes the adoptive parent's state of residence. So, like, the state might also have a say. Because states gotta have a fucking say, apparently.
States? God.
They're in my way.
Mind your business.
There are three general processes for adopting a child across international boundaries, depending on your circumstances and the child's country of residence. One of the most important determinations of the international adoption process is whether the child's country of residence has signed onto the Hague Adoption Convention, and the United States became a part of the Hague convention in 2008. So it's really not that long ago that this all happened. I think the conference was actually in like 1991. So we just took a while.
Right.
Classic.
Right.
So the Hague process. So these are the three ways that you can adopt a child internationally. So the one is through the Hague process. If you're adopting a child residing in a country that is party to the Hague Adoption Convention, you are using the Hague process. Sure. Each member nation has a designated central authority, the DOS in the United States, responsible for overseeing the process. And it's basically just like the Hague has a lot more protections in place for children and like you know, you need a lot. I think it includes a lot more like medical documents and like having actual like government agencies looking over the adoption. You know, it's just more official.
Why don't we do that?
Why don't we do that?
Yeah,
we do it now.
No, like I feel like why don't we do it like all the time? Like,
oh
like
because we're crazy here.
Okay. Like in America, like with like
because the government
regular
wanting to do work.
Cool.
Besides taking away LGBT rights.
Oh, cool.
Not existent.
Great.
Cool. The second option is the orphan process. If you the name sounds a lot. Well, it doesn't. It's there.
The name sounds worse than the same.
So if you're adopting a child from a non-Hague country, then you'll go through what's called the orphan process. This process lacks many of the safeguards of the Hague adoption process, such as preparation and verification of the child's medical records. So it's just a little more fast and loose. Cool. Just getting a child from somewhere, apparently.
Love that.
And then there's also immediate relative petition. The immediate relative process is available to certain individuals who don't qualify for a Hague or non-Hague adoption. In this process, the adopted child is considered to be the child of the adopting parent for immigration purposes if certain requirements are met.
Mm.
So, it's just a little different.
Yeah.
Although procedures and documentary requirements may seem repetitive. Oh, this is because this whole website was about like, here, you, reader, are adopting a child. And I was like, ah, oh, yes, sure. I... Reader, I am adopting a child.
Let's adopt us a kid.
Oh my god, can we?
Sure.
I'm ready, apparently, says, with no confidence at all.
Apparently, we can just... I don't know if we could, considering, you know...
our mental capacities.
I was going to say two women.
Oh.
I was one going white, with my mental one health. Black. I was like, forget the mental health.
The vision of us would tear the adoption agency apart.
Literally.
Let's do it.
Implode.
We're going to the Supreme Court.
Tomorrow.
So basically it just talks about like how you should make several copies of all the documentation because it's a long and labor intensive process and very repetitive.
Sure.
Because who wants to make giving a child to someone easy?
Right.
And it's, like, designed to, and it says this, it's designed to protect the child, the adoptive parents, and the birth parents, you know?
Sure.
All the things. So documents commonly required for an international adoption include, but are not limited to, the following. The birth certificate of the adoptive child, if it's available, which isn't always the case. The birth certificate of the prospective adoptive parents. Death certificates of orphans' parents, if applicable. a foreign custody decree, and a passport for the child. So there's a lot of things you need to find.
Yeah.
Like a little scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
So the Immigration and Nationality Act, the INA, governs the issuance of...
Issuance.
Interesting. Of visas to... I don't feel like that's a real word. Issuance of visas to nationals of other countries, including children adopted abroad or coming to the United States for adoption. The basic statutory provisions concerning adopted children provides immigrant classification for a child, so this is all in quotes, a child adopted while under the age of 16 years, if the child has been in the legal custody of and has resided with the adopted parent or parents for at least 2 years.
So they don't have to?
So they do, So it has to be a child under 16 years old, which I don't know if that means you just can't, like, drop, like, you couldn't adopt a 17-year-old. But I also don't know if that's because, like, different, like, quote-unquote adult ages in other countries are sometimes, like, lower as, like, 16. Okay. Versus, like, here where we're, like, 18, you know? Which still isn't even, like, a real age. who was I at 18?
Literally.
A different person. But this so-called two-year provision is for individuals who are temporarily residing abroad and wish to adopt a child in accordance with the laws in the foreign state where they reside. Okay. So most adoptive parents, however, this is what I was saying earlier, are not able to spend the 2 years living abroad, living with that child, because that's a long time.
Because that's a long time and a lot of money.
Yeah.
Especially, like, sorry, but, like, just thinking about, like, so I would have to, like, have money, have a job that would allow me to leave for 2 years.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not sure what the scenario is supposed to be. If it's like, oh, I got a job working overseas, but it's, you know, for a couple of years. And oh, after 2 years, I want to move back to the States. But I found this child that, like,
yeah, like, am I supposed
to
be like,
adopt? So like, now I'm going to take it with me.
Take a break, like, from work to go backpacking across Europe for 2 years
and
like,
find a child
and find a child to adopt, because like that's what it sounds like. Because to me, like, I guess I don't know, because I'm also thinking like in terms of, you know, like U.S. adoption requirements and the idea of like, you know, you have to have a home and like you have to basically be like stable and like there's this requirement of like, you know, having rooms in said home for a person to live and like all these things. And it's like, how would I maintain such things if I'm required to literally leave my home and job and lifestyle for 2 years?
Well, what's interesting also is that I haven't, I mean, I'll keep reading, but I, from recollection of my notes, like, I don't feel like there's any, like, checking in on the home state of, like, what does your home look like in the country you're taking this child to? Like, what, like, how do you do home visits like that? Are you, like, flying this child from, like, Portugal to, like, Wisconsin to, like, have it stay? Can you imagine?
Poor child. I'm sorry.
That's, like, a whole other argument I have about, like, literally, like, ripping people away from, like, their home cultures.
Their literal
and,
culture.
Yeah. But that's a whole separate.
It's a whole.
Like, it's like literally, so I have this like packet of like inter-country adoption. What do I need to know? And it's like picking the right country. And I was like, I hate that this sounds like shoe shopping.
Literally.
It's like, but yeah, so like that's my question is like what, because it's so split of like, first you get approved by like the foreign country and then like it's like just getting like immigration for your child to come into the U.S. Like where is the like the split, like where is then the checking that the child is going to be okay in the U.S. because you've already adopted a child.
Yeah.
It's now
it's
your
child.
It's the
thing that we talked about with like foster homes is like where is the like, hey, do we think this kid will, like, just be okay and thrive in this home? Like, where, like, why are the children such an afterthought in a system that is meant literally for them?
Yeah. And, like, so, you know, as I was saying, like, most of this two-year thing is waived from parents and that they just, they grant immigration classification to orphans who have been adopted or will be adopted by U.S. citizens. And under this section of international adoption law, both the child and the adoptive parents must satisfy a number of requirements, but the two-year residency requirement is eliminated. So, like, they still have to get things checked out, but, like, they don't have to then do that two-year thing. So why is that two-year thing
even
a rule?
A rule that we mention.
Yeah. And, no, because I was going to say, like, I guess maybe if, like, you were adopting, like, if you were in Spain and, like, were adopting someone in France, like, the countries are at least closer, but, like, it's still, like, a whole separate country.
But it's a whole separate thing,
Like,
And then also, going with all of this, you know, the rabbit hole that is this.
Sure.
Like you were talking about with, like, oh, is this kid gonna thrive? Like, can they go to Wisconsin? Is, like, talk to me about, like, the birth... Like, not birth parents, but talk to me about the adoptive parents' like responsibility to uphold or like the responsibility to like know, I would say, the language of the adoptive child. Or, like, again, like...
Oh, see, I don't even think they talk about...
Like, is this... again, like, do we just expect adoptive child to, like... And, like, I'm... Again, it could be different country to country, but I'm speaking specifically in, like, country... Different country to America is, like, again, do we just expect said child to come to America and adopt Western culture... whatever that is, and like
yeah,
westernized, like just become like American, quote unquote, like, you know, like speak English,
yeah, and do,
like, is that just like what is then expected of them?
And that's what I can't like tell, and I'm like trying to do some like light reading here in this other packet I got of like,
I love all these packets you have.
Oh my god, I went into such a deep dive into like being like, how do I adopt an international, me, you know, about to adopt it.
Literally, how do I,
but like, you know, but some of these matching placement processes are just like looking mm-hmm. through like a photo book of children, and like then you're like, I like this one, and you get like a whole packet about their like history, and it's like their medical history and all this stuff, but like what is that child?
I feel like that shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, but it literally says like, you know, few countries may allow families to directly involved in this step of, like, placement by looking through a photo listing of waiting children. And, like, I
so, like, I want Timmy because he's got blue eyes and, yeah, like, fucking curly hair.
Think of the Criminal Minds episode.
I am.
Human trafficking, the minute, scrolling through the pictures.
The minute that you said pictures of children, I went, this cannot be good.
Oh, it does say that you do need to complete a home study. So at least that someone's checking that. I just don't think the child is involved in it at all.
Great.
Because why would we involve the child in, like, placing them in a whole different country?
Why would we involve the child in something that is going to impact them for the rest of their lives?
And, like, I just, like, who you cares? Know, it's very different from, like, a baby who, like, will probably be fine if it gets taken out of a home country to America. Right.
Because they probably won't know anything else. But like,
what about a 12-year-old who, like... let's say is from like South Korea, does not know any English, only knows Korean, like knows nothing about American culture, is taken to Nebraska.
Oh god.
Like what are they supposed to do?
Yeah, like what's the deal?
And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Yeah, and it just talks, and like the State Department's just kind of hanging out in all of this, and they're like, we provide information, but like they can't become directly involved in the adoption process. So like,
the State why not?
But like,
why not?
And like they can't like order another country, which is probably good. Like they can't like order another country to be like, this adoption is taking place. Like the other country has to decide. Sure. But then, yeah, they still have to go through an immigration process after all that. So they still have to go through the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. But what does that look like for a baby?
Yeah.
What does an immigration process look like for a little baby? What does a 3-year-old have to know? Does a 3-year-old have to know how many states there are?
Like...
I don't actually know the answer to that. That was just something that I was...
Go... I don't know. Like...
Point to the U.S. on a globe.
Yeah. Like, blink 3 times if, like...
If you know who our president is.
If you know, like, if you know who Joe Biden is, like, what's the situation?
Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit more about just the Hague Convention in general, just because I thought it was interesting.
I thought you said the Hate Convention. The I was like, that's convention. Us, you and me. The Hate Convention.
Hello, we are the Hague Convention. Here to be angry about all of this. So basically, the Hague Convention on the Protection of Children and Cooperation in Respect with the Inter-Country Adoption Convention is an international agreement to safeguard inter-country adoptions. It concluded on May 29th, 1993 in The Hague, Netherlands. The convention establishes international standards of practice for intercountry adoptions. The United States signed the convention in 1994, and the convention entered into our United States law in April of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Why it took 14 years, I do not know.
Yeah.
But...
What?
It's fine.
I have so many questions.
I always have questions about law. I just want to understand why we do things the way we do. The convention applies to all adoptions by U.S. citizens habitually resident in the United States of children habitually resident in any country outside of the United States that is a part of the convention. adopting children from a convention country is similar in many ways to adopting children from a country not party to the convention. However, there's some key differences. In particular, those seeking to adopt may receive greater protections if they adopt from a convention country, like I was saying earlier.
Sure.
It's just, like, better for the child if it's right. part of this convention just because they are taking a closer look at the adoption.
Right.
The convention requires that countries who are party to it establish a central authority, which is the Department of State. Like I was saying, in the U.S., like we have mm-hmm. the DOS that's in charge of it. So every country is supposed to have someone in charge of the adoption process, which is good. I guess.
Right.
And yeah, it, like all okay. of this is to like prevent the abduction, sale of, and trafficking of children. And it's trying to make sure that, like, inter-country adoptions are the best interest of the children.
Which I appreciate, you know, yeah. like, cool. But, like, I also have so many questions.
I just don't know how you decide a child, like, will be better off in a completely different country.
Yeah.
And, like, there's, like, you know, many differences between, like, you know, I think of, like, refugee children and, like, sure. stuff like that where, like, sure. obviously there's stuff going down.
Yeah.
But, like, what's a country? Like, a child hanging out in, like, South Africa. Like, yeah. what is their life better in, like...
Being
like,
adopted by...
Like, UK. Like...
Yeah.
What is that, instead of, like, a different South African family...
Yeah, like, what's the...
Is it just, like, there's more interest, like, for...
Yeah.
But I don't even think, like, my mind doesn't go to, like, I would, like, much rather adopt a child that, like, is in, like, my relative area, in my community.
Yeah, like, in my community, like, that needs a home, instead of, like, oh, I want to adopt a child, like... But then that goes, like, and I guess into, like, a whole deeper conversation, like... of things that scare me is, like, you know, what are people's intentions when adopting, you know?
Yeah.
Of, like, do you adopt a child? Like, what's the point of a fucking catalog of kids? Like,
yeah.
Am I adopting a child for looks or am I adopting a child because they need a home to stay in? Like, what's mm-hmm. the situation, you know?
Or, like, are there, because, like, the whole thing is that it's, like, the inter-country adoption is a means for offering the advantages of a permanent home for a child when a suitable family has not been found in the child's country of origin.
Mm-hmm.
Where are all the families in this country?
Like, yeah, like, have we truly exhausted yeah. all
Or, like, resources? Are these children, like, on a separate list, like, of, like, for international adoption? Yeah. Like, how do you decide yeah. that is, like, my question. Like,
it also brings me to, like, a thing that, like, my mom and I were kind of discussing, and like, earlier, which is, like, again, it brings us to a tangent, but, like, we'll talk about it a little bit, but it's, like, mm-hmm. the whole thing of, like, adoption in general, you know, when we have situations where, like, kids are being adopted, and it can even goes back to foster care, is, like, we have kids that are in situations where, like, adoptive parents are truly... selfish, or, like, you know, they're not adopting for the right reasons, or, like, they want a specific kid for a specific reason, so, like, they'll do things to make sure that they get that kid, whether it be sabotaging birth parents or, like, you know, whatever, like, making sure they have an in certain ways. So it's, like, are we, like, it's that thing, like, it brings me back to that, is, like, is this what's happening, you know? Like, is this a thing
yeah.
that we're catering to? Like, are we catering to people because we know, like, Melinda and Greg from, like, Illinois, like, in their, like, cheeky modern home, like, want to adopt a kid from South Korea? So, like, are we gonna cater to all of their needs, or like, are we gonna say, like, actually, you can get a, like, we'll place a child with you who fits that home more, and, like, this yeah. child gets to stay in their home country and, like, be adopted by parents that, like, are more fitting. Like, what is the situation?
Yeah.
Where is the line?
Like, how much is it just, like, for the image? Like, yeah. of, like, oh, I want an adoptive child, but I want my adoptive child to, like, be something very specific.
Yes. Because that's, like, that's the thing that, like, confuses me as like we have all of these things in place, especially I think, and you know, I know what happens with, you know, U.S. adoptions, but I feel like especially with international adoptions in U.S. families is that there is a very specific like aura, you know, about like, I want my adoptive child to be from this country, or I want them to look a specific way, mm-hmm. instead of just like, give me a child that needs a home.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, should we really be approving parents that say like, I only want a child that comes from South Korea, or should they not be able to be a parent?
Unless you have some connection with South Korea that, like, right. I lived in South Korea for 17 years of my life, but now I live in America. That makes sense. Let's connect that.
Let's try to connect that. But, like, parents that, people that get to just pick what child they want based off of looks, based off of countries, it's like, should these people be allowed to even be adoptive parents?
Yeah.
Those are my questions.
Mm-hmm. I don't have answers.
I don't have the answer. I just am curious.
Yeah. And that's really all I have to say, was just like all my questions about international adoption. I was like, why do we take children from their home countries and ship them halfway across the world the whole thing is like for a chance at a better life and for a chance at a home. But like, I just don't trust people enough believe that that's like everyone's true intentions.
It's also the thing about true intentions and the whole thing of like, you get the child that, like, my question is like, how many adoptive parents, like, truly and honestly, would we have if we said, you don't get to pick the child that you choose, like, you get, we very much pick what child you get, where they, like, you have no say.
Yeah.
Like, how many people would still be like, yes, I want to be an adoptive parent?
Yeah. And I don't even think it's, like, a thing of age, like, either. Yeah. Like, you could probably, like, you could be, like, anywhere in, like, the 3 to 5 range.
Yeah. Like, I can maybe understand age. I could definitely, age is something I can.
That's how long you're raising, you know, like, you know.
Yeah. You want to raise a child, like, you're into raising a baby, whatever. But, like.
If you're, like, I want my baby to have blue eyes, you know.
Eye color. Like, these are things that interest me.
Yeah.
It also interests me that, like, you know, we're, and, you know, again, going into things that are just, like, our problem as Americans, but, like, we have such a problem with, you know, refugees and the whole, like, go back to your country and, like, you know, that whole thing that we think is, you know. That
there's literally children sitting in cages right now.
Like, but, literally, you know. So we are so willing and, like, so gung-ho about literally, like, looking in a book and going, like, I want this South Korean baby, or I want this, you know, West African baby, or whatever the situation is. But, like, let a kid come here, let a parent, you know, try and send their kid to America as a refugee, and all, like, all hell fucking breaks loose.
Yeah.
Like, you don't deserve to be here.
Like, how dare you, like, think, like, this, you know, like, I want to pick the child that I'm saving,
but you know, we adopted our child, and then it's like, oh my God, look at their, you know, their beautiful story. They're doing such good work, these good Americans. And it's like, what?
But, like, a woman, like, sends her child, like, across the border to, like, try and give it a better life, or, like, you know, send it to a family member that's already living here, and it's like all fucking hell breaks loose. It's like, and how it's dare, like, you, like, get out of no, our country.
Yeah, like, you don't have the right to do that. So I'm like, what? What are our intentions? And I think that's a lot of what, like, I know last time when we talked about, like, foster care, it was just like, destroy the system. And, like, I'm still very much on the destroy the system wave. But, like, my question this week with adoption is, like, what are the true intentions?
Truly, like, what are your intentions with my daughter? Like,
what? Yeah, because it, like, it also goes to the thing, and, like, I guess even a deeper, like, discussion in adoption is, like, and, like, I didn't even really talk about it that much, but, like, foster care to adoption, like, you know, foster to adoptions, where, like, a family has had a child in foster care and they are able to adopt them. And, like, more often than not, you know, those are kids that, like we talked about last week, are in homes or were pulled out of their homes. And sometimes for bad reasons, like should not have been pulled out of their home. There was no way. So now not only have they been pulled out of their home, but they are being adopted into a completely different family. And then, like, by the time they're of age, you know, they're a grown up, then they want to find their birth parents anyways, because they've now gone. And it's like, then that's just like so much trauma. Yeah. Of like, you know, I was already out of my home. I was placed with a different family. I was told I couldn't contact my parents. Yeah. And so now I'm an adult and like I have to try and make a relationship with like the people who should have been raising me.
Yeah.
And like those are things that I'm like, so and to, like, what are our intentions?
I can't imagine even how like traumatic it would be to find out like you were taken away from your parents for like a dumb reason.
Yes.
Or like, you know, like that. Oh, it was this small thing that caused me to not be able to see my family.
My family. And, like, maybe you have grown up resenting your mom and dad because
they gave you up. Or they gave like you they up did something or wrong.
They did something wrong. And then you come to find out as a grown up that that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
And it's like, so why, like, then this is not, like, then who was our system serving?
Yeah.
Because it's not these kids.
And it's not those birth parents either. Like,
no. No. And it's like so interesting because it's like I feel like you said it, I said it, is like on every adoption like website information page that I found, it was like it's truly to make sure that like everything is in like, you know, everything is safe and like good for everybody included, the parent, the birth parents, the child. But then like I think more often than not, and I'm like, a lot of the times, a lot of the things that I see seem to only serve one group of people, and those people are the adoptive parents.
Yeah. Because those are the ones you, that's like who, I feel like when you get to a point in the adoption, those are who you're in contact with. Like, yeah. I want to know more about like what the child service agent involved in the adoption is doing with the birth parents. Like, yeah. Are you going back and checking on them and, like, do, like, because a lot of times they don't get any information about the parents that their child is getting, you know, like, they don't know yeah. where their child's going.
Which, like, I get some people don't, like, from my understanding, some people don't want to.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, if there are, and that's the thing is, like, I do know that there are also, like, times where parents want to, but, like, then it's somehow the adoptive parents' right to say, no,
they can't know where I am, or they
can't know where me or my child is. Where I go, so
that wasn't your child.
What is the situation? Yeah. Like, what is right and what is wrong? And it's the thing that we were talking about last time of like, I don't know what the right answer is, but I feel like what we're doing is not the right answer. Yeah. Like,
it's just such a conundrum every time of like, I want to believe we're doing the right thing. I just yeah. like have no faith that we're actually doing the right, you know, like I just like yeah. like if I'm being realistic, like can't believe that like all of we're this is right set thing. Up for like good intentions.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm tired.
Yay. Next week we're gonna talk about like, I don't know, the butterfly cycle, like how butterflies go from yeah, caterpillar like, to butterfly.
I mean, like some giraffe talk or something. Like
giraffes.
Like how are rainbows formed? Like let's yeah. talk about precipitation, you know?
I don't
like
know. Something. Freaking clouds or something. Yeah. I don't know. Cool. Well, we're gonna to end this out, round it out, talk about artist of the week.
I just stared so deeply into your eyes.
We both just deep like, sighed, breathed in, and just stared at each other.
It was good. You sing, I sing? Yeah.
Yes. I was like, you sing, I sing? You sing, I sing?
Yeah. You sing, you sing.
Yeah. Literally. Okay. Artist of the week.
Artist of the week.
All right, guys. So this week's artist of the week is at Candles by Liz with two Z's. So Liz makes handmade candles and wax melts. So the wax melts are like absolutely adorable. They are a variety of scents. And there's a ton of scents to choose from. And so there's something for everyone. And they're super pretty. They've got like all different colors and they've got like glitter and shit in them. They're super adorable. All of their products are vegan and cruelty free. And the glitter is biodegradable, which is even better. Nice. We love that. So you can go to the Instagram and see their creations, or go to their Etsy link in the bio to see like what they have in stock. They have this like cute, I was looking in the Etsy store, like flamingo box right now. Ooh. And it's like little flamingo wax melts, and they've got like different colors, and they're like glitter, and they're super cute. So yeah, again, go and follow and support. The Instagram again is at Candles by Liz with two Z's.
Yeah,
that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do we say at the end of this podcast, Madison?
Wear a mask, everybody. Pandemic is still ongoing.
Yeah, please wear a mask.
Get vaccinated. I guess we'll throw that one in there too.
Wear a mask, get vaccinated. Black Lives Matter.
Yes, very much so. Save the planet.
Save the planet, please.
Please, Lord help her.
And you know who else we gotta help?
Again, save Britney.
Save her.
Save her, please.
All right, guys.
Have a good week, guys. Take some deep breaths. And think about how fucked the adoption process is.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye.